Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God called Dwight Lyman Moody out of a successful sales business and made of him a torch that lit the world. Untold millions have felt the legacy of his life through his preaching, his schools, and this church, which he founded 150 years ago this year. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we again look back to a man greatly used of God. Here is Dr. Lutzer with more of D.L. Moody, an unlikely servant.
He said that the next day he went back to his business as a shoe salesman. He said he lost all interest in the business. Money would never tempt Moody again. He said to his friends that he was resigning, which he did. He left the business. They told him that what he was doing was foolish. It was, to quote the words here that I have written down, a wild undertaking. Moody already had made more than $5,000. That was a huge amount of money in the mid-1800s. And now he was leaving all that. He left a more expensive apartment, lived more simply, lived on crackers and cheese, sometimes slept outside on park benches, because he decided that there is something in life more important than making money. There can be a life of investment. An eternal significance. And you know what Moody said? He said that he doubted if he would have left the business and gone into full-time ministry, he probably wouldn't have were it not for that experience. And you know, let's just think about it for a moment. What would have happened if instead of Moody Bible Institute, we were to have something like a Moody Hotel? After all, this was the day of the Fields and the McCormicks and the Palmer House. Moody could have done all that. What if instead of Moody Church, what if it was the Moody Recreational Center? And instead of Moody Publishers, which he founded, what if it were just Moody Pub? What would that be like? You know, when God teaches us about value, and we've been singing about heaven, we begin to realize the need for us to exchange worldly success for eternal significance. Moody wrestled. This was not an easy decision. It took him weeks to finally yield to God and say no to all that money. But look at what happened as a result. There's a second lesson that we must learn from the life of D.L. Moody, and that is this, that God is not limited. God is not limited by human ability. He's not limited by human ability. I have to say this, that I've read a couple of biographies. There are about 60, I think, that have been written. I've only read two or three. And there is no connection between Moody's abilities and what he did. Here he is, grade 5 education. And what does he accomplish? He founds and begins 4 schools. 3 of them are out east. Some of them no longer exist. But the one that we remember the best is Moody Bible Institute, of course, which is next to us, our sister institution. What a legacy he left behind. And you know, when it comes to racial diversity, Moody was so far ahead of his times. I read this week something I didn't know before, that in the graduating class of the Mount Vernon School, there were 32 different nations represented. And Moody had someone speak on behalf of the Chinese, on behalf of the American Indian, on behalf of the different races that were there at the school. Because to Moody, the gospel was for everyone, and the gospel of Jesus Christ makes us all level at the foot of the cross. And Moody believed that very, very deeply. I'm sure that Moody up in heaven has better things to do than to worry about what we're doing here. But I believe that his heart would be overjoyed if he knew that here at the Moody Church today, we have people from more than 70 different countries of origin, reminding ourselves that the gospel is for everyone, and around the throne of God, there'll be people from every race, every kindred, every nation upon the earth. And we want to represent that here at the Moody Church. And so, he was also ahead of his times by utilizing women in the ministry. You know, when he would have prayer meetings, he would always allow the women also to pray, and that was something new, and I don't have to tell you that along the way he became criticized for that. But he had a great ministry, and in England, when he was leaving a city, in one of the instances at least, he left all of the follow-up work to a woman and entrusted it into her hands. Moody believed that God can use all people, all races, all genders. And he lived what he believed. But just think of all of the things that he accomplished. Here he begins four schools. He goes to the British Isles in 1873. He'd been there before for smaller missions. And the man who was in charge of Moody's ministry and preparation had died, so they had no place to go. Moody says God has closed all of the doors, but what we're going to do is just trust him, and he's going to have to open them. Well, a church in York said, you can come here. And so meetings began with a few people, but the congregation began to expand, and pretty soon huge crowds came. From York, they went to Edinburgh and Newcastle. In Edinburgh, the large stadium called the Crystal Palace. And then you have Glasgow. Actually, it's in Glasgow. Let me get that straight, that you have the Crystal Palace. In London, when he ended, nearly 2 years later, he was there over 2 years in the British Isles. Imagine this. He's there for a couple of months. He has 285 meetings, sometimes preaching to 20 and 30,000. His message was taken down by shorthand, and in the morning, the London newspaper on the front page would carry his message. All of that news, of course, came to the United States. And when Moody was here in the United States coming back, it is said by biographers, the entire British Isles were at his feet. I can even tell you stories of being in Edinburgh and talking to people whose parents and whose grandparents, influenced by the large crowds in the ministry of D.L. Moody and Sankey. We're going to tell you that story at a future time. Comes here to the United States, crusades in Boston, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in Kansas City. When you think now of Moody, think of Billy Graham, except no microphones. So they set up, you know, various sounding boards and so forth, but Moody's voice had to permeate the entire area for as many as could hear. It is said that in that London campaign that I told you about, he spoke there alone to 2.5 million people. What he accomplished. There was no relationship between his gifting and the marvelous, unbelievable ministry of D.L. Moody. You say, well, didn't he have any faults? Yes, he did. We don't emphasize that when we speak, but he was sometimes difficult to get along with, wanted to control situations. You can imagine someone with something like working with a whirlwind and trying to contain it. But my, what an ability to recruit people. What a vision D.L. Moody had. So that's a second lesson. God was not limited by man's abilities. And now I emphasize that he kept the main thing the main thing. And here's another turning point in Moody's life. When he was visiting London, and this was before he went there for his famous campaign, he met a man by the name of Henry Varley. And Varley said these words, "We have yet to see what God can do through a man who's totally yielded to him." Now, those words really stuck in Moody's mind. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who's totally yielded to him. Moody said that when he was on the ship coming back to America, it was as if those words were painted on the boards of the ship. God can use a man the world has yet to see. Moody said that as he thought about it, he thought, you know, Varley didn't say, the world has yet to see what God can do through an educated man who's totally yielded to him. He didn't say that. He didn't say the world has yet to see what God can do through a gifted man who's totally yielded to him. Moody said, he just said, a man. And he said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And I believe that by the grace of God, he was that man. What a yieldedness to the Lord. Now, when we talk about such yieldedness, it isn't just simply singing a song, though we are going to sing a song of yieldedness in a few moments. It is really a death to self. It is such brokenness and humility before God that you are willing to simply say, Lord, anything. And I might say today we quote the words of D.L. Moody, but the world has yet to see also what God can do through a woman, through all of us, if we are totally yielded to him. And I might say here at the Moody Church, we have many ministries, many women with powerful, far-reaching ministries, because the world can see what God can do to those and through those who are totally yielded to him. Moody was a humble man. I mean, you can imagine the fame that surrounded him. Crowds greeted him wherever he went. One day, somebody shook hands with him and said, oh, I'm getting to shake hands with the great D.L. Moody. And Moody scooped down, and he picked up some dirt, and he said, look at this. This is D.L. Moody, dirt. Remember that story I told you a few moments ago about the man from Peoria who came to the shanty when D.L. Moody was having his Sunday school? And D.L. Moody was trying to read to this boy the story of the prodigal son, but couldn't pronounce the words. What Moody would do, by the way, is, even in his crusades, when he came across a word he couldn't pronounce, he'd stop just before it, say a few words, and then carry on the other side. It was said that he could pronounce the word Mesopotamia in one syllable. You know what he told that visitor? He said to him afterwards, he said, I have no abilities. I have only one thing. He said, I love the Lord Jesus and would like to do something for him. I have only one thing. Now, Moody had a great social consciousness. Sometime I may explain that to you, long stories about all of the things that he did. Visited, of course, the Civil War 4 times, the battles, the front lines of the Civil War. Great ministry to the soldiers on both sides. But he always kept the main thing, the main thing. It's like the biographer said, Moody was a plain man who preached the plain gospel plainly. And that's really all that he cared about, or the centrifugal force of what he cared about. He's only 62 years old. He's in Kansas City for a crusade, and he becomes ill. So he's taken back to Northfield. Rumors circulate that Moody is dead, but he's not yet. And he comes there to Northfield, and he comes home to die. And when he was growing up, he was always afraid of death, and that's understandable considering the fact that his father was working out on the farm and came home with a pain in his side and died. But this time, Moody said these words to his son and others that were there, earth recedes, heaven opens. If this be death, it is glorious. And you know, in those days when people were not under medication when they died, they could already oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, actually already see heaven during the transition period. And Moody could see even some of his children who had died, who were waiting for him. You know, this pulpit would cry up against me if I ended this message without explaining the gospel that was so effective during Moody's time. Moody preached a great deal on the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today listening to this and you have a troubled conscience, if you don't know what to do with your sin, and none of us do know what to do with our sin, when you come to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, if you feel within your heart that he is speaking to you today about where you are in your relationship with God, you may have a formal relationship, but not a personal relationship from the heart. If that is you today, I urge you to come to Jesus Christ, who can cleanse you, who can give you a new heart. As the Bible says, we must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I encourage you to do that. This pulpit has heard that message many, many times. And may it ever be said of Moody Church, if it should last for another 150 years, may the same gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed from this pulpit to the future generations to come. About 20 years ago, I had the privilege of being in Northfield, Massachusetts, and the home where Moody grew up is still there. It's like a museum today. Unfortunately, it was closed at the time. It's always closed because nobody in that area has any interest, but I connected with somebody who had a key to let me in. In it, by the way, is a Bible given to Moody by Spurgeon, the great preacher of London, with Spurgeon's handwriting, to my good friend D.L. Moody. And the Bible is there, and I explain to people, do you realize how important this Bible is? Not sure that the folks who showed us the home understood its importance. But then I went over just a little ways along the way, and there's a knoll there along a grassy area, and there's the grave of Moody. Moody's favorite text was found in 1 John. The world passes away and all of its lusts, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Wow. So on the tombstone is a snatch of that verse. He who does the will of God abides forever. God may be speaking to you today. There may be areas of your life that you have never surrendered to him. You have never said, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. I stand here today to say that as best as I know how, I yield myself to you, whatever that cost may be, because the world continues to see what God can do through men and women who are totally yielded to him. Salvation is free. It's a free gift that I extend to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you know him, let his lordship and his sovereignty control your life and mine. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we marvel, we stand amazed at how you just proved that it's not a matter of ability, it's a matter of availability. You just proved that you can use anyone, gifted, not so gifted, educated, uneducated. Father, we thank you today for this legacy and ask only that by your grace we might be faithful, even as Moody was, for your glory, for your honor, for your credit. We desire only your glory In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Lutzer. You know, here at the Moody Church, as we celebrate our 150th anniversary, our intention is not really to honor a man. It is to bring glory to God through the life of a man that touched so many, a man who didn't have a great education, but a man who was incredibly humble and broken and used by God to found the Moody Bible Institute and this church, where I happen to have been the pastor for so many years, to the glory and the honor of God alone. We'd like you to get better acquainted with Dwight L. Moody, get better acquainted with our church, all that has happened here in the last 150 years, to see the faithfulness of God in our history. Can I give you a snatch of one of D.L. Moody's sermons? My, how he loved to preach the gospel. He always spoke with imagination and immediacy. He said, "I can imagine when Christ said to the little band, 'Go ye into all the world.' Peter said, 'Lord, do you want us to go back to Jerusalem and preach the gospel to the men who murder you?' 'Yes,' Christ said, 'hunt up the man who spit in my face. Tell him he may have a seat in my kingdom yet. Find the man that put the crown of thorns on my head, and tell him I will have a crown ready for him when he comes into my kingdom, and there will be no thorns in it. Hunt up the man that took the reed and brought it down over the cruel thorns, driving them into my brow. I will tell him that I will put a scepter into his hand, and he shall rule over the nations of the earth, if he will accept salvation. Search for the man who drove the spear into my side, and tell him that there is a nearer way to my heart than that. Tell him I forgive him freely, and that he can be saved if he will accept salvation as a free gift.'" I read that and I think to myself, what power Moody had. What ability to preach the gospel. It is said that he was a plain man who preached the plain gospel plainly. I want you to stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information how you can enjoy with us and celebrate with us a part of our legacy and our history. God bless you. The fact is that history is not simply a tombstone. History is actually a stepping stone.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the 19th pastor of the Moody Church.
It's the 150th anniversary of the Moody Church, celebrating the joy of changed lives since 1864. The sign behind me says it all: Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that that is the case? 7,800 Sundays. Every Sunday for 150 years, Jesus Christ has been exalted and worshiped in the Moody Church. And may it ever be said of Moody Church, if it should last for another 150 years, may the same gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed from this pulpit to the future generations to come.
A personal word from Dr. Lutzer.
To celebrate this milestone, we've created a limited edition commemorative book filled with a wealth of previously unpublished photos, stories, and correspondence. It's an incredible journey through the Moody Church's storied history, which includes famous figures such as Abraham Lincoln, Billy Graham, and many others. This beautiful book makes a fascinating and encouraging gift for friends of the Moody Church, both old and new.
The book is celebrating the joy of changed lives. To find out how this book can be yours, call 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Some say they have faith. Others who have faith are willing to take risks to live out that faith. Next time, join us for a brief series on faith that survives the fire. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.